Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, all the things that we did not get to during the course of the show today. And actually, we're going to revisit something from the regular podcast. So if you've already listened to that, there's part of this that you've already heard, but we're going to go a little deeper into it. That's what I love about the Aftercast. We get a little bit more time because Gavin was like, hey, I want to talk about death. And I'm like, for sure, let's do this. Just lost my brother-in-law. Come on, let's jump on in here, Gavin. You insensitive jerk.
That's not what we do. This topic originated from you.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, I forgot. I'm insensitive. No, we were talking about like creative ways to honor somebody that you have lost. And like my brother-in-law recently passed away. And so one of the things this summer we're going to go, and he loved fishing. So his wife is going to charter a fishing boat. And we're all going to go out and then do his ashes that way. And I am amazed, though, that you can just, without getting in trouble, just throw ashes places.
Yeah.
It seems like there should be some rules.
I think there are some. Do you remember the lady that called us one? This was years ago because we were talking about spreading ashes and stuff. And the guy, I forget who he was to her, but he was a big baseball
fan. Yes, I remember that.
And she had to put the ashes in a Ziploc bag, sneak him into the pocket of a pant leg, and then get a tour of the grounds.
Yes.
And so as they're out on the field, that's when she shook her pant leg and got the ashes on his...
Ingenious.
Yeah. So I think there are laws to it somewhere.
Yeah, because it just seems it would be weird. I mean, well, I guess it's biodegradable. It's ashes.
It's just sand. It's just
right.
Dirt.
Yeah, I mean, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. So it's not like it's gonna make anybody sick or ill, but it would be weird. Like, I've seen the pictures of people, and I want to be very careful on this boat, but I've seen the pictures of people going, and we just want to commend your son Ray to the back to the earth, and they throw the ashes and they're in the wind and it just covers their faces and they breathe it in. Like, that to me would be hard to come back from.
That's not a thing I want to experience.
I'm looking it up. It says in Tennessee, where we're at, there are no state laws controlling where an individual may keep or scatter ashes.
Interesting.
When it comes to public property.
Okay.
Public. But if it is private property, then you need to request permission, which makes sense on the whole baseball field.
Yeah.
That's private property. So you have to ask for permission. And of course, they're not going to give you permission because their field would probably be...
Yeah, they'd be inundated
with
that.
Yeah.
You don't want to start that
precedent.
So they're
going to say no to it, and that's why she had to sneak it.
Be
okay,
creative.
That makes sense. There you go. There's your answer.
I think that was like, was that part of Shawshank Redemption, how they were emptying dirt through the pants?
When he would like scoop away the wall.
Uh-huh.
He would like put it in his pants, go out into the yard, and shake it over the course of however many years he was in there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Smart stuff.
It's a great idea. But okay, so that all of that said, where did you want to go with this, Gavin?
I was curious because we asked people to say how they honor someone who passed away in their lives. And so my question to the group here is how... If you could choose, because people, they obviously will choose how they'll honor you, but if you were in control of how they honored your passing, how would you want them to do it? It could be to do with the ashes or something they do every year when on the anniversary.
Yeah. It's interesting because I guess I'm talking about this a lot because it's so fresh for me right now with my brother-in-law, but like his wife is not doing a funeral service at a church or anything like that. They're doing this an event venue with cigars and brandy because I guess that was his thing.
It's classy. It's
and
cool.
So she is doing that because she's like, that's what he would have loved more so than a church thing. But it's hard for my wife because my wife was his sister, you know, and my wife loved her brother. And this isn't what she would have chosen, you know, but it's not about her. It's about what would honor him.
Yeah.
And that's hard for her because I'm like, honey, again, this Chester probably wouldn't have liked it, you know, and we think that's just what you're supposed to do is do a church thing because that's how we are. But
well,
that
what did
wasn't
she want to do?
I think she like just in her mind had a traditional service and people would say things because like his wife was like, yeah, and I don't want people speaking and, you know, getting up and telling, you know, all these stories.
Some people don't want that.
Right.
Some don't want to be the center of attention.
Yeah. And it's a time to mourn, and it usually is a time for like powerful words and powerful memories. But if I just think about my passing, I would want people to be like sad, but I wouldn't want them to sit in the grief and the muck for too long. And so like that's why I'd want it, again, not that it needs to be something that's fun,
right,
but I actually do like what your sister-in-law is doing is because it's something, especially for people to enjoy something that he would have enjoyed and something that would kind of honor who he was.
Yeah, I would love for somebody to just hire Nate Bargatze to do his set. And it would, and it wouldn't have to be a funeral set. Wouldn't even have to mention me, but he would just go and he would make people laugh. And then Betty could sit there and laugh and be like, see, it's much better when he tells these jokes, you know, and just have my little urn there, you know, just kind of sitting there. I'm just there, maybe even sharing the stage with him. I think that would be fun. But yeah, I don't want it. I don't want my passing to be a sad thing. My whole life has been about trying to make people laugh. I mean, mm-hmm. ever since I was a kid. And my whole career has been that. And so I would want that to be the same thing kind of in death as well. What about you, Rock?
I think that I would, I don't want personally, a ceremony like your wife was wanting for
right.
her brother. I wouldn't want that.
Sure.
I know my parents have said that they don't want that either.
Mm.
I wouldn't want that. Instead, I think I would just want my friends, family, to run up to Catfish Camp.
Yeah,
I thought,
and get themselves a good meal. Yeah. If they wanted, they could spread my ashes in the little pond that's over there sure. with the catfish.
Would the catfish eat that?
No,
oh, okay. Yeah,
but that would be fine by me.
Yeah,
I would
like to get a little
place.
Urn of you. Just like I would like to have a little urn of you to remember you by, and then maybe to put in the litter box. My cat's litter box.
I will need to really specify to everyone around me, please do not give any ashes to Wally.
Well, it's just something I could use, you know.
It's either that or do something with Buc-ee's, you know, like find your local Buc-ee's. Yeah. And
well, I think you should be buried in your Buc-ee's onesie. I think that'd be great. And have an open casket.
What?
Casket
yeah.
With
yeah, with you and your Buc-ee's onesie.
You can cremate me in my Buc-ee's onesie.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay, that's
oh,
fair.
Man.
I don't want to.
Open caskets are weird, man.
Yeah, that's a little too.
Like, I've been to an open casket when I was younger and was like, what?
Yeah,
and you're like, it's freaky.
We did that for my grandpa, and it's just, it's like he had passed away.
Yeah.
And then not so much time later, you're looking at him, and in my head, I'm like, I don't. Connect to the fact that he's gone.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what's really weird. I think we talked about this one time, but I watched this documentary. It was about a little Korean girl, and she passed away from a very rare brain cancer, I believe. Anyways, I think she was 5. And her parents decided to freeze her so that when they did find the answer to...
This is real? Or
yes.
Okay,
it
like
is
movie.
A documentary.
Okay, all right.
And they have her, like, and a lot of people have done it because there's like these silver cylinders.
It's called cryogenics.
Yeah, and so it's super expensive.
Right.
And you can freeze your person.
Right.
And on it, they have a picture of that person, what they look like, their name and all that stuff. But they are sitting there until there is a cure for the type of cancer that this little girl had.
Yeah.
And it was all about the family talking about, will this happen in our lifetime? Will it not? Mm. But we want her to be able to live the life she was meant to live. But
I'd be so weird.
Don't know how to feel about that.
To wake up like 100 years later, like if they were able to reanimate you and all of a sudden, and then they're like, okay, good news. We've reanimated you. We can cure your cancer now. Easy, lickety split. You're frozen, so your body didn't age, but you would be like 100 years old.
But
you know?
Would be in a 5-year-old's body.
Yeah.
And would you then start aging?
You would have to. Yeah.
Once you come out of that state. What was interesting, too, is this little girl, she had an older brother, and because of everything he watched his parents go through with his sister and all that, he decided to become a doctor to try and figure out the form of her cancer and try and find a cure for it.
That is... Yeah, and I get it, boy, but that's that holds you in that grief.
Yeah, and
for
that
so long.
She's sitting there.
And that you and I guess, I mean, it's nice that you're like, we have hope. We have hope that one day, but the odds are you're not even going to be alive to see it, you know.
Yeah, but also too there's the aspect of the soul. Like how does
Yeah,
how
if you're not if you're
work?
Dead but not dead kind of thing, I don't know. Like cuz to me, if she died in my head, you've held the body kind of alive. I mean, you can hold people on life support, but they're in essence dead. You know, so I don't know.
And then it gets into like, just last night I was with a friend of mine and she and her husband are considering having another child and they had to go through in vitro.
Sure.
And so she was telling us that they had, when they went through the whole thing, they were able to get 4
eggs.
No, embryos. That's not what embryos, yeah. Because it's all mixed together. They already know the gender of each embryo.
Wow, that's crazy.
They had 1 boy and they had 3 girls.
And this is where it gets murky too.
Exactly.
With the rules and abortion rules. And if you discard those.
And let me say too that my friend and her husband, they are Christians, but they decided that they wanted to have the boy first. So they already have him. He's now about to be 2. And now they're considering having another. And of course, it would need to be a girl, which they're fine with.
Can you imagine?
But how do you choose which of the 3? Mm-hmm. And then, because I guess, like, let's say they inseminate her with 1 of the girls. Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe it doesn't catch. Mm-hmm. Well, now she has the other 2
right.
to go to.
Right. But if she doesn't, and they just want to stop at 2, this is where the moral dilemma comes in.
What do you do with the 2?
Because these things are turning into actual real babies.
And as believers, do we believe that those are actual human beings that are sitting
while
in
they're
a freezer?
Frozen,
what's the difference between that 5-year-old little girl that died of brain cancer being frozen and these 2 embryos being frozen?
And here's where it gets murky, too, because you know the big debate over abortion is when does life begin, and believers, Christians, most Christians would probably say at conception,
yes,
which would be kind of where your friends are.
Yes.
But then other people say, well, once life starts or once they start to grow. But then if you pause the growth, so the thing is not growing anymore. The embryo is not growing when it's frozen.
Mm-mm.
So it's in essence not alive by the definition of alive by growing, but I could see where I would have a hard time. I think what I would offer is going, hey, can we give these embryos to some other family that wants to have a child? But then you're like, it's my biological child.
Exactly. So that is an option.
Yeah.
So another friend of mine that went through the IVF situation, her and her husband, which are also both Christians, they had to sign papers to say what should happen to these embryos if one of you passes. So if she passed first, would she give her permission to have him, her husband, have these embryos with another woman?
Okay.
And then the opposite, if he passed, would he give his permission to let her have the embryos on her own?
But do you understand, though, the ramifications of even that? So here's a fertility clinic that is doing this, and they are putting value on that life to the point where they're saying, if something happens in the future, you have to make decisions just like you would your normal kids of what's happening. So that, to me, right there, if a non-Christian just company that helps people get pregnant is saying, these lives are valuable, that should be what leads it. Take religion out of it. I mean, that's what should be leading the argument for pro-life, you know, and that it's like, we are having these discussions about how valuable these embryos are, that they are considered children. So how could you even remotely argue for abortion?
Well, they had to sign away with the death situation. They also had to sign away with the divorce situation.
Yeah.
Because
that's like
we learned from
custody.
Sophia Vergara, the actress from Modern Family, she had what did we call them again?
Embryos
with her ex. So they weren't exes at the time,
right?
But they got divorced, and then he sued her because he wanted the 3 embryos that they had in the freezer.
Yeah.
He wanted to have them. So you hire someone to have those babies for you, okay? But then she didn't want them because then she was going to have to pay child custody for these children.
And so he's a genius.
And so it came down to who has the right to say whether or not these 3...
Yeah, and does the mother have more right than the father of a thing that's not in you?
Yeah.
Like, when it's in you, you go, you got more say than I do. But.
And, like you were saying earlier, adoption, you have to sign away with that, too.
Yeah.
Would you be willing to let someone else have your embryos? But then that means that you have a full-blooded child that's out there that does not know you.
Right, that you put up for adoption,
and
basically.
And the other option is the trash.
Yeah, that is... Oh. crazy.
It is.
Yeah. No. It's a tough way to put it, but it's very accurate.
Because what else do you do?
Yeah, it's been a real Alabama, I think, is where a few of these cases are happening right now with IVF, and it's hotly contested, obviously. But that's the thing. You have so much advancements in the way of science.
It's a blessing.
Yeah, but science doesn't take morality into account. Science is just trying to build a better mousetrap, you know, and it's great. Mm-hmm. Like, wow, look at all these things we can do. But with every advancement comes ethical and moral questions. And mm-hmm. that's the gray part of our society where not everybody agrees. And so then you have these arguments. I get so frustrated when I listen to like the pro-life, right to choose, pro-choice debates and how ugly people get in this and how, to me, because from my perspective, is this is a child and it's a life and they don't care about protecting it. Like, it, to me, that's a hard thing for me. And this is no judgment. If somebody that's listening now has had an abortion, like, hey, man, God bless you. Like, you make your decisions and God can forgive anything and everything. There's zero judgment in here for me. But for me, when I look at it as an issue, not as a personal thing, and I look at it as an issue, we're debating and we are begging for the right to kill something that's living, you know, and like we sat there and there was a story on the news today about cops shooting a black guy and they made it this racial thing, but the black guy shot at them first and then they unleashed, which there was like not a lot of restraint, but he shot at them first and everyone's calling for what an outrage this is and it's a crime and all this stuff. And but then by the same token, the next story was like about like trying to paved the way to have abortions. And you're like, these two things do not equate. You can't be incensed at this man being killed, yet then turn around and want to do legislation that is all about ending the life of hundreds of thousands of children every year.
Well, because some people don't see the mm-hmm. embryos as children.
And I don't see how you don't see this thing that's growing in
you. On Daily Wire, they said something like that one guy was trying to have a debate with someone that was pro-choice.
Oh, Matt Walsh. Yeah.
No, the other guy. I don't remember his name. But anyway.
Shapiro.
No, there's another. The younger guy.
Charlie Kirk.
Yeah. And so the pro-life guy was like, pro-choice. He was like, well, I think that it's considered a baby once there's a heartbeat. And the Daily Wire guy was like, well, that starts at 6 weeks.
So, right. So, okay, good.
Yeah. And then he was like, oh, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
But I would like to play devil's advocate here because you saying, you know, you're against abortion, you're for pro-life.
Yes.
But some could call you a hypocrite.
How
because
so?
You're saying we need to let these babies live. But a lot of people, I think, that are pro-choice are saying the reason that we're for abortion is because there are women that are having to raise these children alone or in bad situations, and they're not suited to be a mother or they don't want to be a mother. So then anyone that is pro-life, they should be adopting children.
Yeah.
And so we should be setting the example of, if you don't want abortion to happen, then you should be adopting the children that are in need.
I do think, though, that, and again, it's tough because adoption is a process that
has
become this
make it easier for people.
Thing.
Yeah, make it easier and more affordable, and you'd have more people doing it.
But I do think that, again, I 100% understand people who call out other pro-life people because they just want to kind of do the blank check thing and say, oh, the life is alive and now I've done what I can. I've done my part, instead of what I think is really positive that we did a little while ago was the world's biggest baby shower
mm-hmm.
or helping with programs or helping set up either parents or single parents or people who don't have the finances, but helping the after process. You can be pro-life, but you have to be pro-life.
Proactive.
You have to be proactive birth.
And I think that's where the church is failing, because we don't set the example of helping those women who find themselves like they're hooked on alcohol or some substance
agree, yeah.
abuse.
Okay.
Like
I
there
agree,
needs, if you're going to be pro-life, then you need to be also helping.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Like I you can't just call the problem and
then
do anything
about it. You can't just judge someone and walk away.
100%. I don't think I'm a hypocrite in that respect.
No, I'm not calling you a hypocrite. I'm saying some could call you a hypocrite.
But I've been in that moment where I've been, especially at college when people were very passionate about things, is that you sit there and you want to be a part of the argument, but if you're going to be a part of the argument and then not do anything after the fact, then 100% you can call me a hypocrite.
But with your argument of, you know, a woman that doesn't want to raise a child because it's not convenient for the place that she's at in her life, how many things are like that? Like in our lives, we make choices, we make mistakes, and we have consequences with those mistakes. Do we get to kill the thing that we don't like? Like I'm in a boss. I have a job. I don't like it. Not me personally, but like let's say I've chosen to go to this job, and I have a boss that's making my life miserable. I'm not happy. He's even maybe assaulting me or whatever. Do I have the right to kill him? The answer is no. You know. So yes, it's inconvenient, and yes, it's not good in your life. But should you have the right to just simply terminate that pregnancy because you haven't met this child in the real world yet? But it's still a life.
But the problem with your point there is that people who are pro-life don't see a similarity in those two situations. They're seeing it as abortion is not killing. You're just getting rid of a problem.
Right, okay? Exactly.
And so with the job situation that you were referring to, their solution to that would be like, it's not going as crazy as killing your boss. It's just quitting your job. You're able to quit your job. If you don't like it, you can quit it. But when you're pregnant, you can't quit it unless you do abortion.
Right. But
the problem is, too,
adopt it.
Well, that's true. But then you don't know. You live with that guilt of what if those people get divorced or they don't treat their family right.
Which guilt would be worse? I'd love to ask women which guilt would be worse. Of women that have had abortions.
Yeah, that'd be a great question.
Or put kids up for adoption. Which person struggles more? Because they don't tell you that. Like the pro-choice people don't tell you the amount of women that carry an extreme amount of guilt for the rest of their lives.
Some speak up about it, but yeah.
I know, but I'm saying that the activists don't tell you that.
Oh, true.
For them, it's just the solution to a problem. And man, this is great. You're going to go on with your life. But that's not reality.
But I think, too, that when it comes to single women, and I want to be clear here, I am not for abortion.
Yeah, you seem like you're arguing for it.
To have a healthier conversation,
I'm able to see both sides.
Right.
And so I guess I'm speaking for the person that could say that would, if they were here, maybe a pro-life person, a pro-choice person. But what was I going to say?
I don't know. I think that it would be...
It would have been good.
I think, yeah, it would have been great. It would have changed everybody's lives. No, I think that one small step towards getting to...
I got what I was going to say.
Okay, well, let me hold on to it for a second. I think one small step towards, you're not going to ever get people to agree on abortion that don't support it, okay? So it's just, we're always going to be at odds with this. So I think the first step is going, okay, I get this. We're always going to be at odds. Let's set a window of, all right, when there's a heartbeat, it's living, no more at that. And that's 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. So at least, like, start at that point. Like, I still think it's horrible, but then at least I could get behind that and being like, okay, we at least all agree that this is the place. But a lot of women don't even know they're pregnant until, you know, later than that, too. So that, I know there's arguments and problems with that, but at least it would set something up as, okay, we all agree that life begins now. Because most people are like, well, life begins when it's outside the womb. Nothing is further from the truth. Mm. You know, you could have a plant underground growing that is growing, but it's still a plant. You know, but you don't see it, but it's still a plant and it's still growing. Same thing with a child. It's still growing. It's alive, you know, and to say that just because I don't see it doesn't mean it's alive is a problem. Your point, lady.
My point would be if a girl were here now, let's say she's 17, 18 years old and she got pregnant by her boyfriend. He broke up with her.
Yep.
Now she doesn't get to go to college, all these things. Okay. You would encourage her to keep that baby, put it up for adoption.
Yes.
But the world is telling her, or I don't know, facts, that when you put your baby up for adoption, adoption is a tough process. We all three agree with that.
But there's enough people that want your child.
There are enough people that want your child, but it is a difficult process and it is expensive.
Yeah, but it's not your problem. You're making money on it.
But another thing too, let's say that girl, she has always wanted to be a mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows that if she gives birth to this child, she will not be able to give it away to someone else. So she would rather... Stop the issue now and not have to deal with it instead of being stuck with, and I know I'm using verbiage that's probably going to make some Christians angry,
right?
But hear me out, that there's now going to be a 17, 18-year-old mom who has a newborn child. Her parents, let's say, have kicked her out because she didn't do what they asked her to do. And now she's having to raise this baby. Right. She's having to raise this baby on her own for 18 years. Right. She's going to be stuck in a dead-end job trying to pay bills for this child, trying to live in assisted living or with a housing that is assisted through the government. So now the taxes are adding up too, with us having to help her. These are all justifications for the reasons why she thinks she should get an abortion because right. she's helping the taxpayer by not having this child. She's also helping.
It's a justification.
She feels like she's helping this child by not putting it in a situation where she knows she could not help it.
Right.
She's also putting and this child in a situation where
it makes your mind easier.
There are so many.
It's not accurate.
What I'm saying is that.
But those
as
are the things
nine,
she'll think about. Those are the
as
reasons.
A nine, as a person that sees both sides, I understand.
I understand
why you would make that decision.
I do.
And ultimately, I am still pro-life, but I say that it's the church who isn't showing these girls, these women, how there is help.
You
there
say
is
you again. These are
benefit.
All generalizations because there are a lot of great. Look at all the you mentioned the world's biggest baby shower. Look at all of the women that work tirelessly at these different crisis pregnancy centers to help women. Mm-hmm. You know, and get them the resources, get them the help. Yes, are there the examples of this person had nobody and it could go really wrong? Yes, but there are a lot of places too that it's like, oh, this can go really right for somebody as mm-hmm. well. You know,
so then is it our job as the church to get that news out there more? Because we know, well, you
sure.
even said this morning, you know, with the shooting situation with this man that got shot 96 times or whatever
right.
it was a crazy amount, that the news always follows with a negative headline to
right.
get you to read it, to
right.
get hook, line, and sinker. Well, sometimes not even read it. They just go with the headline. And then you read further down, and then there's more of a clearer picture
right.
of what the situation is. So maybe it's this news that's saying, no, you should do abortion because look at all the bad things that are happening in the world. So maybe as a church, as Christians, we should be more vocal about this is how we can help. This is what we want to do
right.
instead of saying, no, pro-life,
yeah.
pro-life, you should abort and
no, I
then
don't,
judge.
I don't know. I think we should be more...
vocal?
Well, not even
proactive.
Vocal, but proactive. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I don't think we should be judging women, you know. I don't think we should be picketing abortion clinics like that used to happen a lot. Like, I think that's the worst way to win anybody's hearts
yeah,
and minds. You know, like, look, none of what I'm telling you is to feel insensitive to somebody. What I'm just telling you talk about facts. What I'm telling you is something inside of you is growing, and it is alive,
mm-hmm.
and it is a life. It is a child.
Yes.
You know, and so
it's a blessing from God.
You can make all the excuses you want for how bad things could be and how rough this is going to be, all of that. That's all just justifications for terminating a life. Like, I could make a mistake. I could commit a crime. And the one person that knows my crime could send me to jail forever, you know. But then if I kill that person, I'm going to feel much better and get off scot-free. And I can go live my life. I'm happy. I can live my life now. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
I still committed the crime. I still have consequences for my choices. You know, now rape's a whole other thing. And we can get it. I don't want to get into that right now. But, like, on just the basis of choices— we live in a society that's like, you don't have to own any of your choices. And that's a bigger problem, you know? And I think that as a church, yeah, could we be better at helping women in crisis? Absolutely, we should, you know?
I think what my ultimate thing to say is, all of you that are pro-life and saying abortion is wrong, you can't do it, I would love to see more of you getting involved with nonprofits that actually get in and help.
Absolutely.
Say that it is something that I think, yeah, you're right, like the church should be more involved in. It is tough because there are a lot of things that we can say that the church
sure.
should be more involved
yeah.
in.
Oh,
and
yeah.
in some cases, churches do pick and choose what they are able to.
Well, you can't
get
police everybody, you know. Unfortunately, no.
we can't literally solve every issue.
You can't solve it for everyone. You know that is in need either.
But if you're passionate,
there's personal responsibility that still has to come into play. Mm-hmm. So anyway, let's skip your stories. That one wasn't my fault today, I don't think.
We're already 28 minutes.
I know
in.
We got to wrap it up.
That was wild.
Do you want to wrap it up?
We need to wrap it up.
Okay, so no, you said my stories. Do we want to just forget
no
all
stories?
Okay, no stories, mm-mm. No birthdays. Well, you know what? Let's do one birthday shout out because I do think we have one from today. Oh,
okay, just no
today.
Question because we have a meeting.
Marcus!
Woo! Marcus! Yes! What a great day! I will tell you this. I am pro-birthday, like 100%. I know Betty
Wait, it's
is...
not to Marcus, it's to his wife.
Oh. I know, that's why I said I'm pro-birthday. Yay, I'm pro-Marcus's wife.
Susan. Her name
Let's
is
go,
Susan.
Susan.
I'm pro-Susan.
Susan, he said, Susan, my beautiful bride of nearly 22 years. Congratulations. Nice. He said she will be turning 38 for the 10th time. She is a loving mother of our 18 and 17-year-old daughters, caring kindergartner teacher, and obviously patient wife.
Nice.
Oh, Marcus must be tough to deal with. So well, anyways, happy birthday,
there
you Susan.
Go. Nicely done. Sorry it was today, but it doesn't change the fact that we honor you. All right, that's going to do it for your Aftercast, and as always, thanks for being a potty.
Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.